CBS, Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The American economy. I welcome Elizabeth Peake. Liz writes a column for The Hill, writes a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business. The American economy remains in the limbo between the pause of June and the promise of some reaction to new numbers in July. This is the Federal Reserve. At the same time, we look around for parts of the American economy that are sagging into recognizable recession territory. Liz, a very good evening to you. Again, we've gone over these contradictions for some time. It is comforting to know that other people have the same contradictions we do. The jobs market is strong. The residential residential story, the real estate prices for people living in houses has sagged, but it looks to have stabilized in some fashion as the interest rates rise. Commercial real estate is a big unknown that is very threatening. And manufacturing is hesitating. Yet, where is the recession, Liz? Is that a concern for Wall Street, this announced recession that hasn't arrived? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening. It certainly is an overhang. It hasn't held the stock market back. We've had a very, very pronounced rally since the beginning of the year. And, you know, with some sectors hitting all-time highs. So it is one of these times when Wall Street is more optimistic, I think, than the general population. And they're putting their money where their mouth is. And it's a hated rally, I would think. I don't think anyone is celebrating this rebound in the stock market. And that's too bad, because that kind of bleeds into persistent low consumer confidence. John, I think what we have is a slowing economy. There's no question about that. We're going to be looking forward to growth around 1-2% the next several quarters at best. That is the inevitable outcome of one of the most ambitious rate hiking cycles in our country's history. I mean, that means something. They've done it for a reason. The reason is they want to slow the economy. It hasn't slowed as much as I think the Fed anticipated, which is why they have been back and forthing on policy lately. It also hasn't produced the desired outcome yet in inflation. Inflation is definitely on the right track. It's definitely down. But if you strip out food and energy from the last read on the CPI, you know, you're basically talking still pretty solid 4% inflation. Now, that is expected to get reduced by the fact that rents are no longer going up in a lot of parts of the country. And in fact, some places they've begun to come down. So that's going to be a big help, because as you remember, it's about a third, 30% of the CPI is housing costs and rents, implied rents. But the Fed, you know, if we're confused, take a look at the Fed. You know, I mean, you and I can't figure out where the recession is. Neither can they. And I think this last move was widely interpreted as Powell trying to put his board to appease all the various factions in his board by pausing hiking, because there is a faction that says, whoa, we don't know what this increase in interest rates is going to lead to. It's already led to the failures of three big American banks. Maybe we need to be a little cautious here before escalating the rate hikes even more. And there's also a faction that says, hey, we're not done. And if we signal to the market that we're done, that, you know, reinforces all the kind of proclivities towards inflation that we don't have any control over. So, you know, I thought it was a very interesting Fed meeting, more frankly, more interesting than most, in the sense that they did what the market expected. I'd say there is a criticism here of Jay Powell that he always is reluctant to ruffle markets. I think that's understandable, because then he comes under a lot of heat. But generally speaking, stock markets should not be guiding Fed policy. And I think that's kind of what's been happening. But he didn't want to ruffle markets, so he had a pause. But he signaled very clearly that that pause or skip or whatever was a hawkish pause, that, you know, next month we could have another hike in rates. So a lot of people were left wondering, what the heck? Why don't they just rate, you know, hike rates until we're done? And then investors, business managers, everybody else can say, okay, that chapter's closed, and now we move on. We move on to at least stable rates. Because right now, John, one of the reasons you've seen so few deals done is because people really don't know what to expect. The cost of doing any kind of deal, whether you're buying a company, selling a company, buying a building, whatever, is inextricably wound up in the interest rate forecast. And right now, that's pretty darn murky. So, you know, the jobs market remains pretty strong. Unemployment claims are beginning to creep higher, to be sure. There are signs that it's a little weaker around the edges, but it is that strong job market that has confounded the Fed's ability to slow the economy even more and slow inflation anymore. I don't think that'll continue, and half the people out there still think there'll be a recession by year end.
Alan Blinder, writing at the Wall Street Journal over these last days, has a timeline for us, Liz, about the effect of the rate hikes over the last year, the 10 rate hikes. I wonder if you find this rational and forward-looking in the rest of the market. The center of gravity of the 10 Fed rate hikes, writes the professor, was September 2022. Add a year to see the real effects, and you have September 2023. Adding another year to see the effects on inflation takes you to September 2024. Does that sound like a timeline that the Federal Reserve Board will take up among themselves right before the election of 24?
Yeah, it's going to get pretty darn difficult for Jay Powell to please everybody. He cannot really contemplate throwing the economy into a recession going into an election. That's his boss. I mean, at the end of the day, he was reappointed by Joe Biden. And I think he would come under incredible heat from Congress, Democrats in Congress. Not that they can throw him out of his job, but, you know, it's a difficult position for him to be in. I think Blinder is kind of echoing what a lot of people are trying to remind investors. There's a year's lag. By the way, it's not just a year, maybe 18 months in monetary policy taking effect. There's a lot of argument about just how long it is, but there's definitely a lag. And as far as the impact on inflation, I think he could be wrong in the sense that if the rents number does begin to correct, you know, we could see some quicker downdraft in the inflation number. But rents isn't the only thing that's kind of out there as a major variable. I would say wages also. We're seeing some labor contracts come up and be renegotiated at pretty generous wage increases. And you know, everywhere I go, businesses are explaining higher prices by the fact that they've had to put through wage increases for their employees. That makes sense to me. I mean, if you're running a deli and all your people come to you and say, hey, you know, the cost of living has just gone up an enormous amount for me, you're going to give them a raise. And chances are it's not 3%. Chances are it's 5 or 6 or 7% because you want to keep your employees happy in a tight job market. That's a story I'm hearing from people all over the place. And so that is a problem. I think it's a little bit of a problem that Joe Biden is so pro-union. Unions everywhere are making bigger demands right now. That gets factored into those inflation numbers, too. So I don't think we're done. And I think there's perhaps more bad news to come. What Wall Street wants is to get done with this chapter and to be able to move forward and to be able to look forward to rate cuts in the future as opposed to rate hikes. But we are definitely not there yet.
The Wall Street Journal tells the romantic version of the commercial real estate. Wall Street sours on America's downtowns. The pessimism from investors who bet on office buildings goes a subhead, and mass transit can be seen in market signals that are flashing red. This is the commercial real estate unknown, Liz. However, yeah. You look at the major cities that are still struggling with work from home and mass transit not being attended. New York City, the mass transit is down nearly a half in all the important nodes. This tells us that the banks already know the CRE market is coming at them. Are they prepared?
Well, it's a good question. And I think it's something that everybody's looking at. Everyone's trying to assess who has the biggest exposure, how big the exposure is, whether it's hedged in some way, et cetera. But there's no denying that you have a double whammy for the commercial real estate market right now. One, you know, the cities are losing people. They're losing businesses. And, you know, I look at New York, obviously, because I live in New York. It's really hard to make a bull case for New York. We've got problems financially, which means rents might be, taxes might start going up again to cover the cost of migrants, for example, who are living amongst us. And at the same time, you have this very obvious situation where companies are having a hard time getting their employees back into the office. So you have a tremendous amount of office space that's been added in the last decade. In fact, there's more coming on, as we know. J.P. Morgan's building a huge building. There's many others going up. You have the whole Hudson Yard development, which is filling up. Awful lot of office space out there, and a lot of companies saying, okay, we'll deal with our employees by saying maybe 3 days a week, like Google did. And then the employees come back and say, no way, we don't want to be in the office 3 days a week. It's really a problem. And it hasn't been resolved. New York City and big businesses here are trying to push people back into the office. It may or may not work. But regardless, there's too much office space. This we know. And somebody's going to get hurt in this.
And finally, the concern that we have routinely about consumer confidence. Is there any sharp change that you can discern coming ahead, or are the consumers remaining cautious without being depressed?
Well, I think consumers, consumer confidence has been roiled by a lot of things. Inflation probably is number one. They're probably feeling good that the numbers are coming down, as Joe Biden keeps telling everybody. The problem is, John, when you go to the grocery store or whatever, you find that prices are way higher than you expect, and it doesn't seem like 4%. Now, when you go to a gas station, that's good. I mean, the fact is that's something that hits American consumers very squarely, and the fact that oil prices have come down and stayed lower than expected, that's been a real plus. I think there are other problems in America right now, like our political confusion that lead to lower consumer sentiment. And I don't know what's going to change that. But, you know, fingers crossed that we get our COA out of the very dismal political outlook right now.
Elizabeth Peake. Liz Peake writes a column for The Hill, a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business. We're going to turn to the puzzle about the president's reelection campaign when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.